It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 255. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this election-free version of our show, Matt and I give our biggest takeaways from the win against the Bearcats. Then we debate Taysom versus Tanner and discuss just how much we might see Mangum the rest of the season. Also on the agenda, soccer, volleyball, and one-hit wonder Rick Springfield. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Join the conversation with us at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout and listen to us talk right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, what's going on?
Just living the dream. Living the dream right now.
We have an important choice in front of us today. We're recording this on Tuesday. A monumental choice.
An historic choice.
Matt, should Tanner play on Saturday?
Oh, here we go. We're doing this again.
We'll get back to it. We got some tweet back questions. Before that, Matt, let's have a little election fun. Is it possible to have fun with this presidential election?
There's nothing else you can do.
There is nothing else you can do. And by the time people are listening to this, we may or may not know who is the next president of this great and wonderful country of ours.
We still may or may not know.
We may or may not know by the time you hear this. We're recording this on Tuesday night and ignoring talking heads talking. And instead, you guys are going to spend maybe some of you tonight on the West Coast by the time this gets posted, but probably most of you are going to be just avoiding post-election coverage by listening to us, which is also fantastic. So, Matt, let's get right into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
Our brother Don, I also like to call him the Texas A&M apologist.
Oh, here he is.
So, shots fired.
Hey, what's up with his obsession with Texas A&M? It's very strange.
It's an SEC thing. He loves the SEC. It's weird. It doesn't make sense. And if you look at all objective measures this year, they're not the best conference. And that's okay. They've been the best conference for like how many years in a row? 10? 12? I don't know what the number is, but it's been a long time. Like, it wasn't going to last forever, right? Or did people?
No, it's only going to last as long as Nick Saban's contract with the devil.
No, I think Urban Meyer's contract with the devil is now coming up.
Oh, is he due? He's due for a renewal, a renegotiation?
Yeah, I think so. So Matt, just let's jump back. We'll get to the SEC here in a minute. Don says, which current or former BYU player coach would you vote for president? So Matt, if you're trying to put together a ticket, let's do it this way because I'm actually more creative than Don. Who is your ticket, your president and your vice president?
I'm going to go with Lavelle Edwards.
Lavelle Edwards for president. I like it.
I think you put Lavelle at the top of the ticket.
Okay, you can't go wrong with that.
And then as his vice president, I think you give him Robbie Bosco. No. Chad Lewis.
Chad Lewis, that's good. I like where your head's at. That's a good one. That's a good one. I've got a better ticket for you. Oh, that's right. I said it.
What do you got?
For president, Danny Ainge.
That's pretty good.
And his vice presidential candidate? Steve Young. Tell me right now they wouldn't win. They could beat anybody. Put them up against anybody.
They're unbeatable.
You know, Evan missed the chance to put Danny Ainge as his running mate.
I wonder if he reached out to Mr. Ainge.
Nah, he probably didn't want to do another Mormon.
Smart move.
Yeah, probably. Probably smart move. So, Matt, let's jump right into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, Matt, you can get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. That's where we get it. Matt, women's soccer, number 4 in the land. And by the way, you got totally called out.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah, by Pat Hammond, basically telling you I was right and you were wrong. They were.
The way I,
number four. So
I get, but the way I look at that situation is this: I'm basically famous.
Because
I got called out by Pat. I got called out by Pat.
That's true. You did.
And she is the BYU fan who rubs elbows with all the BYU bigwigs.
Yeah, she's got a picture with
everybody.
It's
a big deal. Yeah, I'll take it all day long. If I'm going to get corrected by somebody, I'm glad it was Pat.
All right. That's fair enough. So the women's soccer team pounded Gonzaga on senior night 6-0. Basically, this is like a microcosm of their fantastic season, right? They absolutely hammer Gonzaga, score 6 goals, and have a shutout because they just shut people out. That's what they do. Vasconcelos had 2 goals. We'll get to her in a second. Matt, this is the 5th straight, though they shared the title with Pepperdine, 5th straight WCC title for the women's soccer team. So congrats to them.
It's pretty good. I guess it's all right.
That's all right. Some of our men's teams would like to enjoy 5 in a row WCC titles. Heck, one.
Or one in a row.
One in a row would be good.
That'd be nice.
The Cougars will host UNLV on Friday in the NCAA first round. They're facing the Rebels, who are 16-3-3. They were 8-1-2 in the Mountain West Conference. Obviously, BYU is favored to win that. I have not seen TV. I'm assuming it's going to be on BYU TV and radio, though there is a chance that it might also get picked up by ESPN. So watch out for news there, but a good activity to watch on Friday night, Matt.
There you go.
All West Coast Conference team was named, I believe, today. Michelle Vasconcelos, as the aforementioned Michelle Vasconcelos, named the WCC Most Valuable Player. Not a huge shocker based on the statistics. Ashley Hatchtrick and Elena Medeiros joined Michelle on that first team. Nadia Gomes was named to the second team, and goalie Hannah Clark got an honorable mention. Apparently, all of those shutouts were not impressive enough to get on the first or second team.
Apparently, you have to do something more than basically shut everybody out.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, good luck.
What's it going to take? Jeez.
Well, she didn't play the whole year because of injury, and their defense is phenomenal. So, you know, it's not all on Hannah, but she's had a fantastic season for sure. Matt, women's volleyball, ranked number 12, swept Pacific and St. Mary's on the road this past weekend. They improved to 22-3, 11-2 in the West Coast Conference. Up this weekend is their senior night. They start off with Gonzaga, who's 14-9, 7-6 in the conference. BYU leads that series all-time 14-1. Don't look for that to change on Friday night. And on Saturday, it'll be Portland, who's 14-11, 7-6. Portland has only won one match against BYU in 11 tries, and that was earlier this year, 5-set loss in Portland. So the Cougars will try to avenge that on Saturday night.
Go get them.
So, Matt, staying with the women's sports, women's basketball. So all 3 of these women's teams will be playing on Friday night. Women's basketball will be opening their season against Utah Valley. All right, Matt, it's time for Cougars in the Pros. They're the first pick in the NBA draft. Did I throw you off there?
You did. I'm not
going to
boo him.
You're not going to boo Adam Silver?
No, I'm not ready to boo Adam Silver.
Would you have booed David Stern?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, I'll try it again.
And I was kind of hoping you would go with Goodell because my feelings for Roger Goodell are becoming stronger.
Tell me more.
I think he's taking the greatest sports product in the country. He's ruining it. He's ruining it.
Ratings are down. Ticket sales are down. Overall interest in the league, as judged by clicks and stuff, are down. They have done a terrible job managing the product.
No, he's got them all focused on all these weird off-field things.
London.
And nobody understands what the rules are. They're playing games at 7 o'clock in the morning in England.
Here's the other thing, Matt. There are games now on Sunday, Monday and Thursday. And after the college season, they try to throw some games on Saturday too. And he wants to add more product. He wants to add two more games.
He's watering it down.
I don't think he understands. He doesn't understand. More will not always be better or increase viewers and fans. But anyway, all right. I'll try this.
And he's focused on all these things, trying to protect the shield and get rid of things that nobody cares about.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Things that nobody's bothered by. Some of these.
Yes, and not punishing people for things that people really are bothered about.
Yeah, people should get. I mean, it's
did you watch the Monday night game?
He's got to go.
Did you watch the Monday night game last night? Did you see Sherman and his roughing the kicker that wasn't called?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I don't understand how, like, when I saw it live, so I'm watching it live, right? He blows around the corner, just absolutely, like, takes out the kicker and the holder, and nothing.
I don't understand. Like, what's the rule? I don't understand what the rule is.
I thought the rule was if you hit the kicker, that's a penalty, right? Like, isn't, like, one of those easy ones? But like you said, I don't know what the rules are in the NFL anymore. You know, a catch? What's a catch? I don't know. They have to make, like, 8 twists of their body, you know, control it for 3.87 seconds. You know, I don't even know what a catch is anymore. You know, anyway. All right. So I'll give you a chance to boo. With the first pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select another terrible quarterback. So, Matt, Ziggy Ansah had, I think, his best game of the year against the used-to-be-good Minnesota Vikings. 5 tackles, including 1 for loss. He was in on 61% of snaps.
What happened to the Vikings?
They were a paper tiger, man. They've got a good defense. But Sam Bradford's not leading you to the promised land.
So, wait, he played the Vikings this weekend?
Didn't he? Wasn't that this weekend? I think so.
Yeah, maybe you're all right.
I thought it was the Vikings because I thought all my coworkers were just like, yeah, how many of our terrible division mates can we lose to?
Yeah, I didn't catch a lot of football Sunday, so we're good.
I did catch. I caught a little bit this last week. It was nice. It was in my neighbor went to this game. That's right. They lost in overtime.
Yeah, there it is.
They lost
in overtime.
Yeah, so Ziggy was in on 61% of the snaps. Patriots, of course, Kyle Van Noy has yet to make his Patriots debut. They were on bye this week. Pitta had 2 catches for 14 yards. Not a big game, but did have some big plays as far as blocking and such goes. Daniel Sorensen continues to play a big role for the Kansas City Chiefs. 5 tackles, was in on 62% of the snaps. And John Denny did his John Denny thing, snapping
along.
Outside of the NFL, Jimmer had another big game, 32 points, 4 boards, 4 assists for the Shanghai Sharks. And you got an answer to your question, Matt. I couldn't find it, though. Where is that? Didn't we get a question?
Did somebody tweet that at us?
Somebody did.
Oh, no. I can't believe I missed this. I was flying and driving all afternoon.
No, they tweeted to us last week. Somebody tweeted us that Shark in Chinese. Yes, Freddie Woods, that's at Freddie Cougar 21, says the alliteration does work and Shark is Shayu. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But the Shanghai and Shayu, it is an alliteration in Chinese. So says Freddie Woods. So I'm going to believe him. It's not like I could ask Google what Shark is in Chinese.
Seems legit.
So should I Google that right now? This will be very exciting for the listeners.
Yeah, he tweeted this 6 days ago. How did I miss this?
I don't know how you missed it, because you don't pay attention to our listeners.
I just liked it.
You liked it? Oh, you just liked it.
I just liked that tweet. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and follow Freddie Woods.
You should follow Freddie Woods. He seems like a swell guy.
That's a question I've wanted to know for a long time.
They said right now that when I looked it up, the word for shark in Chinese is shark. I think Google might be wrong there.
Might need some work on that algorithm.
So, Matt, let's jump into talking about the Cincinnati game. Obviously, big win, 20-3 did not start out particularly great. Very slow start again for the Cougars. What was your biggest takeaway from Saturday's game? Did you take a nap during the game?
I just walked in the door from a 5-hour drive. But
so
the
you
game
napped.
Just
you
felt like a snoozer to me. No, but the game did feel like a snoozer.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Did anybody else? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe so it was just I had a hard time getting fired up about the Benterongs. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You know, I made a few jokes when I was watching it. I was actually at a work event on Saturday, which was, of course, terrible. And I came back and I avoided all news of the game and watched it when I got back. And as I was watching it, I kept trying to make the, you know, Bears and Cats made it joke with my wife. She didn't.
You just said made it. You just said made it.
I said mated. My no. gosh, what is wrong with
roll
your ears?
Roll the tape back. Roll the tape back.
Roll the tape back. So Matt, that was your biggest takeaway, apparently, is that it was kind of a snoozer. My biggest takeaway is the same takeaway I've been taking for a while. Okay, you ready for this?
Hot take right here. This is going to be a hot take, I can tell.
Our offense isn't very good.
Yep. You heard it here first, everybody.
So we'll get to that in a minute, but that was my big takeaway from this game. I would say that there was some good glimpses in the second half, but you take away, you know, that flea flicker that we ran there. If Trindamon doesn't come back to the ball, you know,
come back like 8 yards to the ball.
Yeah, come back 8 yards and make a miraculous catch, scooping it right before it hit the ground. But we'll get that to that in a second. Ryan Sorensen, that's at RJ Sorensen on Twitter, had a different takeaway, Matt.
What did Ryan come up with?
Well, he asked us this. Thoughts on Lange and Michael Davis's reduction in playing time. By the way, that ESPN crew, that might have been the best non-Gus Johnson crew we've had so far this year.
That guy had watched some
He had watched a ton of tape.
He was good.
He had comments on like backup linebackers on both squads.
And I was really impressed. You know, he would see at some point in the second half, you know, we had Algie out kind of in a slot. Well, maybe it wasn't a slot. It was on the narrow side of the field. But then he went in motion back towards the center.
Yeah.
And he had just been talking about that. He said, well, out of this formation, they'll often put this guy in motion and run the ball right here. And then they did it. Oh, it was awesome.
Well, and
that guy had done his homework.
Then he mentioned when Davis came in, I hadn't noticed, actually, that Davis had not been in. Sometimes it's hard with defensive backs because of the way they show you to you on TV. It's hard to know who's playing and where, right? Because a lot of times they won't be on the screen when the ball snapped. So when he said that's the first time Michael Davis, was that the late second quarter? Or was that third quarter? It was well into the game, and he said, and I'm going to take his word for it because he seemed to be a pretty observant dude. So he says, you know, and Lange definitely did not play as much, and he didn't play as much against Boise either. So he said, when production suffers on O, why don't we see the same thing? Matt, what's your take on that? I thought Davis has had some rough patches. I still think he's the best cover corner we got. And Lange's had some issues, but it's not as if I've watched him and think, wow, there's somebody else that can do that job better than him.
Well, and I think he's also had he's been banged up a little bit too.
Yeah, and I don't know about Davis. I haven't heard of him being banged up, but there's also a possibility he was not at 100% either.
Well, and I think that you do see this on O everywhere except for at the quarterback position. You know, you don't see it as much with the wide receivers just because I think they rotate those wide receivers through pretty quickly. But when an offensive lineman is struggling, they pull him.
They have played multiple offensive linemen, not just for injury reasons this season, for sure.
They haven't had to pull Jamal out for poor performance.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and we've talked about this before, at the quarterback position, because the whole offense flows through there, especially with a former NFL quarterback as an offensive coordinator, he's going to be really slow to the hook on that one. But at the end of the day, I mean, you look at it and you think this is what was crazy to me is I'm watching the game and I will sometimes make the mistake of turning Twitter on during the game. and you scroll through and you're in the third quarter, you're up 17-3 and people are calling for them to pull Taysom. And you're not going to bench your quarterback when you're up by two touchdowns.
Even
if he's only throwing for, what did he end up throwing for, 130 yards or something? Was he 15-25? So, which aren't really ridiculously good numbers, right? But you're not going to bench your quarterback.
Well, that was a backhanded compliment.
They're not shows. They're not. These aren't Xbox numbers, right? I'm playing on both ends of the far ends of the spectrum here. But
he had a good,
very average numbers.
Good game rushing, right? I mean, here's the thing, I'm going to hold that. We're going to get back to Taysom in a bit. Okay. All right. So we'll get
anyway.
Back.
But my point is, you're not going to make significant changes like that from a personnel perspective on offense when you're up by two scores.
No, you're not. And nor should you at that point in the game. That's not really the time or the place to do it. So, Matt, now we're going to jump in to the most detailed Southern Utah University preview that you'll find anywhere.
Here we go.
We're going to break down their offense, defense, bench depth, coaching staff, dance squad, band. We're going to talk about it all, Matt. So buckle up for the next 35 minutes. We're going in deep on the Thunderbirds. Are you ready?
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're not going to talk about them at all. It's a scrimmage on Saturday, okay? It's a scrimmage. All right?
Listen, I will say this. I will say this about SUU.
What's that?
They have some of the coolest helmets
of all the
teams we've played all year.
Yes, they do have some cool helmets.
I love their helmets.
Well, their whole uniform's better than Toledo, right?
Absolutely.
They beat Toledo. They beat Cincinnati, probably. Though those American flag cleats that Cincinnati was wearing was pretty awesome.
Those were pretty cool.
And I love how they make fun of the kickers for not adopting the new cleats. That was pretty funny.
Still, in my opinion, not as cool as the SUU helmets. I'm just going to go ahead and say SUU uniforms.
Yeah, I like their uniforms. They get classy uniforms.
You got to have something going for you, Anna. Yeah,
that's right. So we are not going to preview, but we're going to start talking a little bit about the rest of the season, Matt, okay? And this is where the Tanner Taysom discussion comes in, and we're, of course, going to throw the mic over to Justin Sweeney to help us out.
Sweeney!
So this is what Justin asks. That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, Tanner has to open with LSU, University of Utah, and Wisconsin, all likely to be ranked next year, and I think that's a fair assumption, and that's we're talking for the 2017 season. Goal is to get him 3+ quarters over the next 3 games, right? So to add to that, Matt, Johnny Ashton on Facebook asks, will Taysom or Tanner get more playing time on Saturday? Hopefully BYU has a big early lead. Our nephew, actually son of Don, Michael, that's at White Mike on Twitter, says, at what point should we see Mangum on Saturday, and at what point will we actually see him? So, Matt, let's break this down, okay? We'll get to Justin's question last, and we'll start with Johnny and Michael's question. At what point will we see him? Let's start with that first. When do you think is the, not when you want to, but when you think we will actually see him?
Third quarter.
I think he starts the second half, assuming we're up by 3-4 touchdowns at that point. Okay.
Yeah,
when should we see him?
I think the second half, even second drive of the second half is probably about right.
No, you start him.
Oh, why?
Why don't you? Give him some reps. Why don't you start him? Why put Taysom out there? Taysom's your guy anyway, and he's going to be the guy that starts against the... Just say he's kind of banged up from a long season. Give him the game off.
What does that do for you? What does that give you?
It allows
you... What does giving Taysom the week off really bring you?
It doesn't do... I'm not talking about giving him a week off. I'm talking about letting Tanner play.
Giving Tanner a chance to play three or four quarters against SU in November of 2016 is not going to make a difference when they go to meet LSU in Houston next year.
It's not going to make any difference. Yes, he gets
a year. It's a year in advance for a guy who's already got a whole season under his belt.
Yeah, not running this offense. He doesn't. He's never run this offense. He ran a simplified offense in high school, and the Robert and I offense was very reactionary, not as hard to run as Detmer's offense. I think it's worth it. It's better than practice. It's basically
I don't even know if I believe that's true. I think he gets as good of a look, if not better, in spring ball.
Stop it. In spring
ball. Half the team won't even
be on the field.
Half of these guys wouldn't be on the field either.
No, but I'm saying his players. The guys
No, I'm talking about the SUU players won't even be on. They wouldn't even make it onto the field.
Half our offensive line is from SUU.
Yeah, but those guys weren't supposed to start. You can't. That doesn't count.
That's true.
So
they were actually doing fine for. They actually played. The offensive line has played better than I thought they would. Actually,
yeah, they have. But coming back to my point, because I'm right, is this? you've got Taysom Hill, right? So 15 to 25. What is that? I'm just real quick math. Is that 60%? So as a percentage, that's pretty good, right? But I think I saw somebody tweet out a stat today. Maybe it was Greg Rubel. Something about we only had a handful of 30-plus yards pass. I'm butchering this. We've only completed passes of over 30 yards like a handful of times this season.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got left on this schedule, and I know we're going to run through it in just a minute, but you've got Utah State, and that'll be an actual – I think that's a real game, more so than Southern Utah or UMass. And then you've got a bowl game. And then you've got a bowl game that's going to be a must-win situation. It would be – you've got a potential embarrassment in your bowl game situation.
Okay. Reason to let – do you really want Taysom to get hurt playing SUU?
Don't you think a guy who has struggled running the offense could use some reps?
Yes.
Yeah. He could. So that's why I want him on the field on Saturday.
He's got all the reps. He's not getting any better. If anything, he's regressing. Cincinnati is not a good team.
You think sitting him against Southern Utah is going to make it any better for him against Utah State?
I don't think it'll make any difference whatsoever. UMass and Utah State are terrible. We're going to win those games anyway. I think I'm with Justin to get to his question. I think he needs to play three or four quarters between now and the end of the year. And the thing is, he'll probably get a quarter against UMass because they are atrociously bad.
I think he gets a half against SUU and he gets a half against UMass.
And he might get a quarter against Utah State because they're not very good either.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, obviously with the rivalry game and different things, there are different factors. Against Cincinnati, he averaged 5.2 yards per attempt. Matt, that's bad.
Oh, like, it's not good.
If his name wasn't Taysom, if he was some new quarterback, he would have been benched four or five games ago.
Yeah, right. And I don't disagree with that, but I think if the coaching staff was going to do that, they would have done that. They would have done that a long time ago.
Virginia game. He's not getting benched. And I'm not even saying he should be at this point.
I don't really see a big benefit in starting him this weekend. I don't think we're basically, you're saying it doesn't do you any good to play Taysom, and I'm saying it doesn't really do you any good to play Tanner. Well, I don't think you gain anything.
I think you do because he has Taysom is not. It's not. He's had the whole season with this offense and hasn't been able to get anything really going at a high level. Now the running looked better.
But I hear what you're saying, and he has not had a good thing. He's not been able to really get it going at a high level. So I'd say this: if you're gonna bench him, then I'd say put Tanner in, start Tanner, and then start him for the next four games.
Okay, I'm cool with that too.
But if the coaching staff's plan is to ride Taysom out for the rest of the season, then you start him. Then you start him this Saturday.
Oh man, I'm
not saying it's right. Well,
yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
I don't know. If I were the coach, I don't know what I'd do with Taysom.
I know what I'd do. He would have been benched 3 or 4 games ago.
So when would you have done it? When would you have sat him down? After West Virginia?
Let's look at it. Let's look at the
stats. You can't bench.
Here.
You're not going to bench him after a win.
Yeah, I might have. He was terrible against Toledo.
Okay, so you're going to bench him after your offense scored 55 points?
After Jamal Williams scored 55 points? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I could bench him. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, he was
funny.
11 of 21. 11 of 21.
That's
at
not
home.
Good. Good.
Against Michigan State, he couldn't get over 200 yards passing, and they're terrible. Against Mississippi State, he couldn't get over 200 yards passing. And they're terrible.
I'm wondering if you would have benched him. I think you would have benched him during that game.
Which one?
Toledo.
Yeah. I would have benched him during the Toledo game.
See, and I think that makes more sense than benching him after the game. I think you get to a point in the Toledo game where you say, okay, we're having a hard time getting anything going here. Let's put Tanner in here, see what we can do. And then they win the game. And now Tanner's your boy.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's a chance you beat Boise. I think there's a better chance you beat Boise. I just think at this point and I love Taysom Hill. 2013 will go down as one of my favorite offenses to watch ever. Okay, Taysom Hill is a legend, and had he stayed healthy, I think he would have had one of the best BYU QB careers in school history. But you can't say that now, right?
No.
You know, and if he was still an elite runner, the passing, the not being a great passer is fine because you're the best running back on the field and you're the guy that plays quarterback. It works. It doesn't work if you're now a above average rushing quarterback but not an elite one and you're a below average passer. It doesn't work. That formula to me doesn't work. Unless Tanner just can't run this offense in practice, I've got to assume he could do a better job. This offense has not been good. They're averaging, you know, yards per play is like 5.28, man. That's worse than 2012's team, or about the same as 2012's team. Now, granted, to be fair, 2012 played a much easier schedule, and these stats will only go up in the weeks to come against, you know, SUU, UMass, and Utah State. But anyway... So Matt, here's a fun question that Johnny asks, and I think we're both going to end up on the same answer. So Johnny Ashton asked a part two of his Taysom question was, chance we see an offensive play with the double T formation, both Taysom and Tanner in formation, could also be called the Cougar, as opposed to the Wildcat. Matt, percent chance we see the double T formation with Taysom and Tanner?
Zero.
Zero. But I've been asking for this since, like, forever. Why can't they do it? It would be such a cool trick play. How do you defend it? And you have, you do an actual T, and you put Jamal in the backfield, too.
So who's taking the snap?
You don't know. Could go to anybody.
So here's the tricky part.
You put Tanner in the middle, you put Taysom and Jamal on each side of him.
It doesn't work with 2016 Taysom.
It totally does. He's still the second best running back on the team. Do you think I'm wrong on that? I think I'm right still. Squally's good, but I think Taysom's still better. And Tanner can run.
I think in a traditional traditional running back role, I think that if you play Taysom as a running back, I'd take Squally. Right now.
Oh, no way. You're out of your mind.
Taysom gets into the situations he's in because he's the quarterback.
No.
If he was playing from the running back spot, it's a whole different situation.
Did you see that guy's jockstrap is still sitting in Cincinnati on that move he made? That was an open field move. That was just an open field move. That had nothing to do with him being the quarterback. And yeah, the other one
– No, but it does, because the situation is created because defenses are keying on him differently because he's a quarterback. So the matchup is all different. I think if he's playing from a running back spot, I don't think you see the same thing, especially in 2016. Okay, 2013, Taysom, maybe.
2013, Taysom, maybe? You're really – that's crazy. I might believe you with 2016 Taysom. 2013 Taysom may be the best running back that BYU's ever had in a season.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it would work.
It would work with 2013 Taysom. With 2016 Taysom, you've got a point. I'm not sure that you're right. But I still would love to see it against SU because it would just be fun, right? Like, wouldn't you be jazzed if they lined up with the three of them in the backfield?
It'd be great unless someone got hurt.
Oh, stop it. You're clearly
the one who wants. You're the one who wants to sit him so he doesn't get hurt.
I don't want to sit him so he doesn't get hurt. I'm just saying the coaches can use that as an excuse so that it doesn't cause a quarterback controversy. They can say there's no controversy. Taysom got banged up in the last game. We're just sitting him for precautionary reasons, right? Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, but think about the Twitter firestorm.
Oh yeah, it would be massive.
If you had a banged up Taysom, oh, that would be awesome.
So staying with Taysom here for a minute, Matt. Chris Murphy on Twitter, that's at CMurphyPro, says, after seeing Taysom this year, do you think he gets an invite to the NFL Combine? No, Chris, he's not getting an invite to the NFL Combine, is he?
No, but he could probably buy the shorts and everything at his local Under Armour store.
Here's the thing: he's such a fantastic athlete that I'm going to be shocked if somebody doesn't at least give him some kind of a look, right?
I think he gets a look. I think you get a lot of interest at a BYU Pro Day in a Taysom Hill.
Yes.
And you know, and he'll end up somewhere when all's said and done. But does he get drafted? Does he sign a free agent contract or whatever? But I think, you know, by the end of that week, whatever it is, he's flying somewhere for camp.
I don't think – yeah, he'll fly somewhere for camp. I don't think he makes it anywhere. If it's 2013 Taysom – I think he gets drafted and then they try to figure out what to do with him, right? You know, because of how good of an athlete he was at his peak, and maybe he can get back to that. Quite frankly, the big story will be come combine time, because as the season's progressed, his running and his movement has gotten better. So
he's way more comfortable and he looks a lot more agile.
Yes. So is it possible by combine time he is 2013 Taysom? It's possible. I don't think it's likely. But if he gets to that, if I'm wrong and he gets to that point physically, then somebody will definitely take a flyer on him because, you know, somebody will think we can fix his throwing and or we can turn him into something other position on the field. You know, an right. H-back or something like people wanted to do with Tebow, but he didn't want to do it. You know, and the crazy thing is, Taysom's a better thrower than Tebow. So, I mean,
yes,
just doesn't have quite the hype. So, Matt, I believe that ESPN, the Poinsettia Bowl, and everyone else is just conspiring to make me mad.
Oh, it's great.
Are you ready for this? Bowl projections are out, Matt. ESPN... several other sites, they're predicting one or other Mountain West Conference team, Matt, against BYU in that bowl. It's either San Diego State or the Cowboys of Wyoming.
Of course, this is if Wyoming doesn't invite it to a New Year's bowl.
Stop it. Gets invited to a New Year's bowl. I would actually puke when that announcement came out. I would puke.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So it could be San Diego State or Wyoming, Matt. Justin Sweeney, again, makes an appearance in the tweet bag.
Sweeney.
I feel like I missed some questions on Facebook. Like I
did you miss some face bag questions?
I think I missed some face bag questions.
Did you skip the face bag?
No, I pulled in one of them from Johnny, but I think I might have missed one. No, there they are. There they are. We'll get to them in a second. We haven't quite reached them yet. So Sweeney asks, what will Adam do when San Diego people pair us against San Diego State? I'll celebrate because I want to crush them.
Here we go.
Are you against, do you care who we end up playing in the bowl? I mean, it's a Mountain West team, so.
I don't want to play Wyoming. That's just lame.
What about San Diego State?
I'd play San Diego State. That'd be actually a fun one to root against. I think I could enjoy that.
Yeah, I could definitely. I could enjoy Wyoming too. Neither of those are sexy games by any stretch of the imagination. What's that?
So many jokes.
It's about sexy.
About the sexiness of Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah. And Matt's robot.
You don't
voice
have to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
Cowboysonly.com for them. Those commercials are fantastic.
The wheels are coming off here.
The wheels are coming off.
We should probably move on.
Yeah, let's move on. So Matt James Lowe on Facebook has a. Well, we'll get to his. I'll do Gary's first. So Gary.
It's not. These aren't short. These aren't short questions. On Facebook is apparently the long form.
Yes, it's the long place form for questions.
There, you don't have the 140 characters holding you down. So Gary and James have really come in strong here.
Yes. So Gary, I'm going to sum up your question. He says defense has clearly outperformed the offense this year. I'll get to whether I agree with that here in a second. And he asks, do you think it takes longer for the offense to adjust to a new system than it is for the defense? Matt, what's your take on that point?
I think there is something to that, right? I mean, defensively, traditionally, you're adjusting to something new. You know, you're adjusting what you do, the offense, because you don't have the advantage of knowing what's about to happen, right? So you're a little bit more – defenses are built to be a little bit more adaptable.
Yeah.
Offensively, you know, you kind of get into this is what we do, and you're playing to your strengths, and you do some of taking what the defense gives you. But it's just a little bit of a different approach traditionally on offense. So I think there is something to that.
Yeah. I think there is something to that. I think you had a college experienced defensive staff, and you did not on the offensive side, at least on the play calling side. And I think Detmer's play calling has improved as the year went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is evident. I think that's great and makes me hopeful for the future that he will continue to grow and learn. And he seems getting their play calling going and whatever else. He made a great decision very early on that they were just going to ride Jamal, right? Like,
yes,
this season was going to be about putting Jamal as your person to build this offense around, right? The offense is built around Jamal, not around Taysom, which I think was the right decision. So I'll go with that. Right now, according to Football Outsiders, our defense is ranked 31st and our offense is ranked 48th. So to Gary's point, they are, I will agree with Gary, that the defense is outplaying the offense to this point in the season. I think you look at some of the raw numbers of the defense and you're like, wow, they've given up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of yards to some pretty good offenses. Like Toledo is a fantastic offense, according to Football Outsiders, they're a top 20 offense, and there've been a couple of other top 20 type of offenses that BYU has played so far this year. And then, you know, the defenses, BYU has played some decent defenses as well. So you look at that, and I don't know, Matt. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to know where we would be at with offense or defense if you hadn't made the coaching change, right? Like, I don't know where they would be.
Yeah, you don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, going from 3-4 to 4-3 has I think negatively impacted Harvey Longy.
Yes,
I think there have been a couple of players in the interior who have either benefited or been hurt by the change in defensive scheme. So James Lowe asked this question, Matt. The last 5 years, BYU has won an average of 8.6 games per year. They're tracking to the same. So he asked an interesting question. Would you rather win 8-9 games a year or have like win totals of 11 and then 4 and then 12 and then 4 and then 11? So Matt, would you rather do that and then occasionally get a chance for a New Year's Six Bowl, or would you rather just be consistently good but not great?
Oh, I'd rather you have the chance every once in a while for the New Year's Six Bowl.
But here's
I would take a couple of 4-win seasons.
I would too.
To get that 12 or 13. You know what I mean? I think you do.
I would too. I think most people would. The problem is, I don't know that you can do that. That's not a choice, right? Like, we're going to.
You can't
fully
recruit
load.
Or plan that way, right? I mean, it just doesn't work like that.
Well, and injuries happen and different things happen. You just. There's no way. But yes, I would. I'm with you, man. I would do that in a heartbeat. So, Matt. The college football playoff rankings are out again, and making fun of our brother and his love for Texas A&M. They got beat, and I don't care that they didn't have their starting quarterback. Mississippi State's not good. If you're a legitimate top 10 team, you should be able to beat Mississippi State without your quarterback. The fact that they only fell 4 spots in the rankings, to me, is an indictment against the rankers. Quite frankly, it's a little bit of a disgrace when I see they only dropped 4 and they got beat by Mississippi State, right? I don't get it. They're not a top 10 team, are they? Is Texas A&M a top 10 team?
I don't think so.
Who have they beat? Give me their marquee win. I don't, you know, anyway. So, Matt, now it's pretty easy because there's 4 undefeated teams. Sorry, Western Michigan, I'm not counting you. 4 undefeated teams, and they're the top 4. Give me the team you think that is least likely among Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington to be in that top 4 at the end of the year.
The least likely of the 4 to remain?
Least likely of the 4 to still be there when all is said and done.
I'm going to go with Clemson.
Clemson, really? That's a good choice. Yeah. Tell me more. You just think they've got a chance of breaking down like in the ACC championship game or something?
I think it's the ACC championship game that maybe does them in.
Okay.
And the other piece of that for me, frankly, is that when you look at hold on, let me get out of that. Sorry, I was clicking around here for a second. But when you look at the other 3 teams that are on that list, I don't see a lot of bobbles. I don't see one of those other 3 teams. You know, you could talk about Michigan maybe with an opportunity to slip up. But even with Clemson, you know, you look at the ACC and you think in a conference championship game, is there really somebody, you know, or is there somebody there that can beat them? I don't know.
So here's the crazy scenario. Are you ready for the crazy scenario? Michigan loses to Ohio State. Okay. Ohio State wins out.
Yep.
Penn State wins out.
Yep.
It's a 3-way tie for the Big Ten, whatever they call themselves. It's the East right now. It's not Legends and Leaders or whatever. So it'd be 3. I don't know what the tiebreaker is. I didn't look it up. But I think it's Michigan because that Ohio State game. I don't think they lose their... If they get to the championship game, I don't think they lose it because I don't think whoever they end up playing, Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Nebraska, I think they can beat them on a neutral field. Though the Wisconsin, because they're how good their defense is, that could also be a tough game. I think it's Michigan that's the least likely. I think it's actually much higher than it should be that all 4 of those teams make it.
I think all 4 of those teams will make it. I was going to say after Clemson, I was going to take Washington. I don't know why I'm so sold on Michigan, because Michigan's schedule, as you pointed out, is no cakewalk between now and the end of the season, right?
Yeah. The problem is they haven't had a close game. Like, kind of Michigan State, but that was scoring late. I mean, they're absolutely manhandling people, right? Like, this Michigan team looks like an Alabama team as far as how they're taking care of their business.
You know, so they probably got to go through Ohio State and Wisconsin, you know, and what does Washington have left to do? Washington State maybe?
Yeah,
and
Washington State.
You look at
the
Pac-12 conference championship game, I think they'll be okay there.
They probably will be okay.
You know, I'm not real sold on Clemson, which is why I leaned in that direction. But those are some tough games that these other teams have to play. But, you know, it's interesting neither of us are even touching Alabama.
Oh, Alabama's not losing again. Right? I mean, do you think they're going to lose? I think they're the best team in the country.
Well, who's going to beat them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, are they going to lose to Mississippi State?
Chattanooga.
Auburn, Auburn's decent.
Yeah, Auburn could.
I don't think it's likely, but Auburn could. And then you look at the championship game, they're going to be playing.
Yeah, nobody in the SEC East is going to play. So it doesn't matter.
Florida probably at this point. Let's look at this for a second. Alabama has scored more points than Florida by 70 points, okay, and held teams to fewer points than Alabama, right? Like, they're going to manhandle Florida, right? Like, in the championship game. It's not going to be a close game. It really comes down. I think Auburn is the only chance that they have to not go undefeated. But here's the thing: if they lose to Auburn, okay, play this scenario out for a second. They lose to Auburn. Auburn then gets to go to the championship game. And what if Auburn loses? Does Alabama backdoor their way into the top four? I think they could. Alabama, because they wouldn't be in the championship game.
What you're saying.
They'd be tied with one loss apiece, but Auburn would have the head-to-head, which I believe is the tiebreaker in the SEC. It's the first tiebreaker. So then Auburn loses to Florida in the championship game. You're not going to put a two-loss Florida in the championship in the four-team playoff versus a one-loss Alabama, right?
Right.
It could be, like, very predictable, and they all win out, and it's these four teams, which would be a lot of fun. Or there could be some wacky things that happen. All of a sudden, we're going, like, you know, we're talking about Louisville getting in, right?
Right. Or Ohio. What if Ohio State beats Michigan, right?
Yes.
And then Wisconsin
beats Ohio State.
Beats Ohio State.
Or whomever they play in the Big Ten championship game.
Right, and if that happens, and Louisville wins out,
do they get in over a two loss Big Ten championship Wisconsin team?
Right,
that would be awesome. Just the debates, man.
This could be complete chaos. This could be complete chaos. But I see no scenario here where Texas A&M deserves to be anywhere near those top four. I'm just going to throw that in right now.
Totally agree with you there. I think it's Alabama or nobody for the SEC this year. So, Matt, let's jump off to BYU men's basketball. A couple of stories of note. The first one is, of course, that BYU has their final preseason tune-up against BYU Hawaii. Some of you may even listen to this after that tune-up. That happens Wednesday night. Sports Illustrated ranked BYU as the number five mid-major mid-major team, and they think will be in the first four of the NCAA tournament. Of course, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and Wichita State are above us. But Matt, that's not a bad place to be. Do you agree with how Sports Illustrated is looking at the Cougars?
I think it's probably about right. I mean, you look at kind of where this program has been and people coming back and these types of things. It's probably the best you can do with the information you really have.
Yeah,
on these players right now.
Yeah, as we've talked about, this is a tough team to handicap because of all the newcomers. Some coming off missions, some right out of high school, some transfers. You know what? There's a lot of moving parts. Where if you tell me that they won their first WCC title, I think that's very unlikely, but it's not like impossible, right? Even as good as Gonzaga is going to be, you might like, okay, I can kind of believe that, right? But if you also told me they don't make the NCAA tournament and they lose a couple of games to bad WCC teams, I don't think that's that likely either, but I'm not going to be shocked that way either, right?
Right.
Disappointed. For sure, maybe not shocked. So Ryan Sorensen, that's RJ Sorensen. Who between the two has the more impactful year in hoops? So he gives us one or the other. Okay? So you ready?
All right, what do we got?
Rapid fire. Rose or Dastrup?
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with Rose.
Yeah, Rose.
Haas or Bryant?
See, I've been called out on this one a couple of times. But
yes, you have.
All right, I'll get on the bandwagon. I'll go with Bryant.
Okay, okay. I'm going to go with Haas on that one, actually. Childs or Davis? Just Childs to me.
Childs, yeah.
And we'll stop there. So Matt, we're going to finish up here. Gary Payne, who I believe, I'm going to take credit for Gary being on Twitter. He joined Twitter not too long ago, and I have no idea if it has anything to do with the show, but I'm just going to claim that it does.
Okay.
So he's got @FastBreakGP on Twitter. Fantastic.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. He said he forgot to thank you for closing with Jesse's girl last week. He had requested that we close with Jesse's girl, and I did deliver on that. I have Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting, the conversation, because the conversation that led us to the song Jesse's Girl started with the question, who is Jesse?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the answer was Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell, but it was because the girl's name in this song is not Jesse.
No, her name is never mentioned. Jesse's been a friend. Yeah, he's been a good friend of mine. But something's not changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's
apparently not good enough
and
of a friend.
I want to make him mine.
Hmm. It's a bad situation.
Man, I'll tell you what. That song, Rick Springfield, you're one creepy dude. and my favorite part about that whole song is, I've been cool, I've been funny with the line. Isn't that the way love's supposed to be? No. Like, that's what love is supposed to be. You've said a couple of good one-liners, and the girl's supposed to leave her boyfriend?
That is not actually how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, you should go back to acting. Sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Springfield.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Springfield. You should go back to soap operas or whatever it was you were doing before you became
Rick.
A two-hit wonder, whatever it is.
There was a second hit?
I don't know. I think there was. Wasn't there a second Rick Springfield hit?
To the Google machine.
To the Google machine, let me know. Matt, next week we will actually do a game preview, though I don't know that UMass is going to be much more than a scrimmage either. and we'll also get more into hoops. We didn't do a lot of hoops talk this week, but we will do more hoops talk. We will overreact to the BYU-Hawaii game, and we'll set up, we'll be previewing actual games, I think, right? Because we got that Princeton
real games
game
at that point. Real games.
Yeah. We'll be talking about we'll
have the Princeton game under our belt at that point.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we'll talk next week. Obviously, UMass and Princeton. So we'll talk about that for sure. Matt, any last thoughts here? And did Rick Springfield have a second hit?
Nothing that I recognized. Just quickly scrolling through Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it was General Hospital.
General Hospital was the show, huh?
Yeah.
He was on General Hospital. You've pretty much hit my soap opera trivia knowledge, is Rick Springfield.
Yeah, you were more into Days of Our Lives.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, if you get into Days of Our Lives, that's... I was trying to think of a third name of a soap opera. I don't even know one, so I don't know what it is. But Matt...
Wasn't there one As the World Turns? Was that really the name of the one, or is that just like a joke about soap operas?
I have no idea. I think that actually
is remember.
One. So Matt, here's the hashtag. If you've made it all the way to the end, here's the hashtag. Last week it was Rise Shout Lemonheads, and we had a few of you do it. This week it's Rise Shout World Turns. As the World Turns, should we do the whole thing?
That's really long hashtag.
That's
almost 140 characters all by itself.
What do you want to do? Rise Shout.
Rise Shout General Hospital.
Rise Shout General Hospital, all one word. Rise Shout General Hospital hashtag to see if you made it to the end. Matt, I am going to close with this. I've made a lot of fun of our brother Don over the years.
Yes.
and I will continue to make fun of our brother Don over the years.
We do.
But he's got one up on us, Matt, and I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed. He has seen Doctor Strange in the theater, and neither of us have. Now, for you, maybe that's not a big deal, but I feel ashamed.
Has it been released?
Yes, it was last weekend. And Matt, I think it's the first time he's seen a movie in the theater before me since Return of the Jedi came out in the 80s. Now, I'm exaggerating.
You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed.
But I should be embarrassed. I feel embarrassed. So anyway, Matt, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter, you can do that at @BYU_RiseShout. You can Facebook, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And of course, you can email us oldsnailmail at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to talk about UMass, Princeton, and some other hoop stuff, and hopefully talking about the BYU women's volleyball and soccer teams having some victories over the weekend. Thanks for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
Stick shifts and safety belts, bucket seats have all got to go when we're driving. In the car, it makes my baby seem so far. I need you here with me, not way over in a bucket seat. I need you to be here with me, not way over in a bucket seat.